God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye, and I think that's significant. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. He values words, and because we believe, we speak, and we speak about the happenings in the world, mindful that our true and eternal home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Everything on any news site, in this case, I just took a screen grab of Fox News, screams at us, yells at us, grills us in an attempt to draw us into their world. That's their job. The headlines are about clicks. You know this clickbait. You know the phrase. It's not just us media people who know this. But it's also an attempt to draw us into a world that is not reality. No, I'm not speaking of the eternal reward, which is reality for us. Those who agree to be changed by the Lord Jesus are baptized, follow him, abide in him. No, it's a world that is not real. I just took, and I do this from time to time, just take a screen grab of a news site. In this case, I'm picking on Fox. And this is from yesterday. And I just go through it. I saw this. Democrat DA drags city to court over horrific conditions plaguing once vibrant downtown. And there is, in fact, a picture of a decrepit, very third world looking downtown. It says deaf ears. So that's an intriguing story, except I know the story. I know what's being done to our cities. And I would just counter with this. There's a dear, sweet lady I know who lives in downtown Seattle. I know that she's 72 years of age. I know that about 10 years ago, at the age of 60, she tired of seeing people unable to get themselves out of addiction. And so she started a program. She had almost no money. She's never earned a serious living. No, she's never wanted to. She's been a gardener. She's been a sometimes school teacher, substitute, sometimes Sunday school teacher. And her husband passed. She has very little money. And all the time she uses is building a program to help people overcome addiction. That was 12 years ago. Now that program pays her. Not a lot, because she won't take a lot. But she's in Seattle. There's no news story. The balance is not here when we look at these sites, and it's not their job to provide balance. Some of it's, well, just political, but listen to the phraseology. DOJ fires back at Hunter Biden's request for remote court appearance. They fired back. No, they didn't. No, they made a counteroffer. Hunter Biden doesn't want to go to court because they don't want the media spectacle, because that's not what figurehead Biden wants. They want this to go quietly. This is all meant to go quietly. This is all designed for a non-court case. It's gun charges. It's the one thing that does not involve his dad. And again, I met the other day one of our city council people where I live. I met him in a gas station. We have a little bait shop and gas station down the street from us. And it is. That's the sort of town we live in. There really is. Our gas station is also a bait shop. I love that. We live in a town of 600 folks. I love that. And I drove in, picking up some gas, stopped in to get something, and recognized a gentleman. Said, hey, you're on the city council, aren't you? Yeah. Nice to talk with you. I got a question. And we visited for about 5 minutes. It's just a silly little question about small towns and small roads and small intersections. That is also America. He didn't want to avoid that conversation. And he ended it by saying, hey, God bless you. That happens here. You know, if I look again at this screen grab, and again, this was yesterday, furious Republican curses out GOP colleagues over spending debacle. It is a debacle. And Shiproy did use the S word. And this is why I'm going to click. We had a discussion the other day about cursing. Cursing as members of the body of Christ. And let no unclean talk leave our lips, no impure talk. And the discussion went around this topic. How would someone know that you follow the Lord Jesus? How would they know? I mean, sure, you could have a t-shirt on. You could say it. But if someone's watching you in a group of people, how would they know? And particularly if you're in a group of men who are cursing and this common use of the F word and the S word, etc. If someone saw that, would they say, oh, those must be Christians? And if they said that, what does that say about Christ himself? Well, nothing. But it leaves the residue of, oh, that's what Christians do. That's how they act. So they're no different than the rest of us. And likewise, with Shiproy choosing to use this word, I know grown men, and I'm so proud to know these men, who will say things like, good gracious, instead of any form of cursing. Oh, heavens. Oh, my goodness. Oh, gosh. I never encountered that in Washington, D.C. I never encountered it in Seattle. I mean, there's people who don't curse. But newsrooms and political rooms and political war rooms, there are very few people who don't curse all the time. I go back and I look again at the website that is communicating to us this world. And yes, the world has fallen. Yes, in fact, the prince of the air is left free to show his evil. And that evil, as we talked about yesterday, is drawing a lot of good people, a lot of people who know that in them there's goodness. They don't understand their sin problem. They don't understand their separation from God, but it's drawing them. God is using the evil to draw them to himself, and praise God for making that decision. There's another one from Fox News, and it's a picture of a police officer and a young woman. And it says, and forgive me, but this is the headline. I like it kinky. Watch. Drunk stripper gets frisky with cop and awkward traffic stop. Why would I watch that? Well, clearly I want to see a drunk stripper. Is she a stripper? She's a woman who does that for money. Is that her title? Is that her identity? When we view the news through a kingdom mindset, I look at this and I say, hey, could we do take two? Maybe take two is someone's little girl who went off track. Someone whose soul has been spiritually captured, tried to use the tactic that's worked for her whole life, her physical beauty, her flesh, to get out of something, out of a bad decision she made, and a man who, in fact, decided to play by the rules. Not by his flesh, and I don't know if he knows the Lord, but not by his flesh. It didn't work with him. She got arrested, apparently. When we view things through a kingdom mindset, and we view things like the Fox News, the website, and the homepage through a kingdom mindset, we have this great, great thing that I call spiritual immunity. I started to use this phrase when they really started to push the COVID flu and the lockdown, which was medically useless. It was deadly. It was. The lockdown will have killed. It was already, in fact, probably killed more people than anyone who died just from COVID-19, because most people did not die from it. About 99% didn't die from it. Even the CDC has been forced to admit this. So when we look at things from a kingdom mindset, and we look at the way the websites present this to us and the news sites present this to us, we have this spiritual immunity. Because we started to talk about immunity and herd immunity, and that's real, and the CDC tried to pretend it's not. But we have spiritual immunity as Christians if we will employ it, if we will nurture it. Do you remember when doctors were getting in trouble for talking about vitamin D? I know a woman. She used to be a local television reporter in the separate country of Seattle, Allison Morrow. She and her husband moved way, way out, off grid, to have just enough grid, just enough solar for Allison to do her videos. She's very good at them. She got delisted, dropped, demonetized by YouTube. She didn't even mention COVID. All she did was talk about vitamin D and how vitamin D can be helpful and how much she loved living in wilderness now because she got more vitamin D. That's all she did. And they demonetized her so that she couldn't earn money from her YouTube channel. Well, vitamin D does help you fend off diseases. So does the Word of God. The Word of God helps you fend off mind diseases. It is just that. It is spiritual immunity. It's so much more, but it is also spiritual immunity. There's a headline here. This is meaningful to me because of what I do for a living. Illegal immigrant deported 9 times gets into shootout with police after alleged murder. All right, there's some research material for me. How many of these cases occur? Well, an increasing number. That's the first thing in this that I've read that might be, well, I miss really important. The spending debacle, Chip Roy. We're always going to have a spending debacle in D.C., unless the Lord comes along and decides to perform an absolute miracle, that's never going to change. We'll never not have a spending debacle in Washington, D.C. because they're unmoored from any form of restraint, any form of skin in the game. They don't experience any loss in that town. And yet that's not even important to God. Oh, no, he's told us, hey, don't go get yourself deep in debt. Don't do that. Be wise investors in money. Be wise stewards of the finances I give you. Is this parable after parable about that? Yes, yes, I know. But I'm thinking of the moment in time. See, to me, I look at the thread of all of this. This headline again from yesterday on Fox. Supermodel calls out Oprah for treating her like chattel when model was 20. That's terrible, and I am very sorry you were ill-treated. And what is the common thread as I look at this is, yeah, the broken world, but there's something else. This is all flesh-level stuff, and I took a screen grab. Just a snapshot. So you could have a Fox editor come to me and go, wow, that's really unfair. You just treated our FoxNews.com website really poorly, and you misrepresented it because you yourself said it's just a screen grab. And I've said that multiple times. Yes, it's a snapshot in time. Now, imagine a God, our God, who lives outside of time. And he sees us, and I am the guilty one. I stand as the guilty one. He sees me spending all of my time reading this news and becoming emotional about it and getting drawn into the world to somehow all of a sudden I'm of the world temporarily. Here I am reading news and right now in this 10-minute period, I'm of the world. And the importance of the screen grab metaphor to a God who has existed before he created time for our convenience. God created time for our convenience because we are not smart enough to handle living without time. The changeover between day and night and the seasons. Construct for us, I would argue, and I think I have biblical support on that. So he can look and say, my children, you're so concerned about a blip. You can read a website like that and not come away and say, what about the internal soul of Chip Roy? What about the eternal soul of this young woman who takes your clothes off for money and tried to sexually get her, you know, tried to seduce her way out of a traffic ticket? What about the souls of the people who are firing back at Hunter Biden? What about Hunter Biden's soul? What about yours as you read this and you start to get sucked into being of the world, even if it's just for 10 minutes? Because if it's 10 minutes today, it could be 20 minutes tomorrow. And then 40 minutes, and then suddenly, boom, or I should say, whoops, you're of the world. Yeah, we'll talk about some news. We'll do that next. But as we do it, let's go through the fact that we are in the world and not of it. We're going to talk about the continuing effort to stomp out the truth. It will not work. They cannot do it because God himself is truth. This is The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and thank you to AFR for having me, and thank you for the listeners. Unique. I never thought I'd be on a listener-supported network of 182 radio stations. What you do here is so vital because there is an amazing, concentrated, and I think driven by evil, attempt to stomp out truth. They can't do it because God himself is truth. But man, they can make it very, very difficult for people to access counter-narrative truths. I'll give you an example. I've got to know a guy named Scott Scherer, and Scott's daughter, Grace, had Down syndrome. She was 19 when she went into a hospital, and the hospital, in my judgment, murdered her. And it's not just my judgment. Scott has been able to do something most people cannot, which is to have a lawsuit against a hospital and the staff thereof proceed. That's very, very difficult to do because usually they are tossed out of court. Medical malpractice, in particular at this level, is a very difficult case to even get into the hands of a jury. Almost impossible. But he's done it. They picked the wrong guy when they went at Scott Scherer, and we'll have him on the program. Scott is the owner of an accounting firm. He's been very blessed. He knows the Lord Jesus. He walks fully in the light. And he's taken time off from his firm, turned it over to his employees, and used the money that he has and God has gifted him to turn and study what's going on in our medical system. He has an extraordinary report that medical murder, his term, and I concur in the case of Grace, I fully concur, it was murder. It now outpaces heart diseases, cancer, becoming the number one cause of death. And this is a recording to a patient's right advocate in Scott and the data that they crunched and put together. And he has amazing skills at this. That can sound utterly unbelievable because I am aware that there are people listening to this who are in the healthcare field. And you're probably one of the great people in healthcare who walks with the Lord and could never consider such a thing. And when people are in a system, it's almost impossible to see how broken a system is. And when I came to D.C. and pointed out some just, well, I mean, silly business things, broken things that they couldn't see. And I just, as an outsider, came in. And I'll just give you a silly example. I came in and saw their email list and said, wait a minute, why are you sending email to 6 million accounts that don't exist, that are gone? Why would you do that? You say you have this like 49 million email account list. No, you don't. Or 20 million. No, you don't. And by the way, do you know you hurt yourself? Every time you consider sending an email to a canceled account or something that's marked you as spam, your open rate goes down. You're punished for this. Why are you doing this? Oh, we didn't know. We didn't think it was that big a deal. It's a huge deal. And I knew that because I came from outside of DC, not because I was smart, just because I knew that. Knowing things is the first step to correcting things. And the fact of the matter is the government has no intention of allowing most people to see things so they can begin correcting things. As you listen to this, let's remember to stay in the world, but not of it. This is from the Epoch Times, and they're pointing out that the Supreme Court has refused to keep in place an order from a federal judge that bars the bosses in government from working with social media companies to just prevent us from seeing the truth, such as this analysis that Scott did about medical murder deaths.
The U.S. Supreme Court issued an emergency order allowing the Biden administration to once again interact with social media companies in order to censor the free speech of Americans. And one of the odd things about this is that this order came just a single day after the impeachment inquiry against Joe Biden was announced, and it also came just a few hours after Hunter Biden was hit with several felony gun charges. And because of this order from the U.S. Supreme Court, the Biden administration is now free to not only reach out to the media to control the narrative, which they're already doing, but they're now also once again free to reach out to these social media companies regarding Joe Biden's impeachment.
And when they do this, they are free to threaten. And the big threat that hangs over the head of social media companies is losing their Section 230 status. That means this: if I were to libel someone on this show, to lie about someone knowingly with malice, AFR could be sued. Yeah, they can come at me and they say at the end of my program that my opinions are not necessarily their own. And they're not. I'm an independent human being. And they could be sued. That's not true with social media companies because they pretend that, oh, we're just platforms, we're not publishers. That's the threat. But sometimes these social media companies are acting far, far beyond this in pursuit of the same goal. They're the same thing. Google is a government. It's the size of a government, it has the money of a government, it has more power than most governments, it has more money than most governments. And they just suspended, or at least demonetized, the account of an actor named Russell Brand. Russell Brand was actually, I guess, I thought he was a fun actor. I thought he could do great humor roles, and in fact was not a bad dramatic actor. He's a very talented man. God's gifted him. I hope he'll one day open his heart to the Lord. Well, he's been truth-telling on social media, on YouTube. In a Rumble, his show has done enormously well. He had the name recognition from Hollywood. He does a great job at it. He's spoken truth about COVID. He's spoken truth about, as he sees it, about Ukraine. And he's on a counter-narrative to all of this. So it has come out that he's been accused of sexual assault against women 8 to 9 years ago. That may have happened. I don't know if those women are telling the truth. If they are, then Russell Brand should be punished. YouTube has pre-punished him. Now, remember, they've suspended him so he can't make money on his show. But remember, you can go to YouTube today and see videos by current rapists. Men who go into women's spaces and physically and mentally assault them. This isn't anything to do with Russell Brand being accused of this. This is to do, I contend, with what Russell Brand says. Here's an example of some things Russell Brand says.
And the horse medicine was the same. They had the option of saying, look, we don't know that there's no evidence as yet that ivermectin is effective in these spaces because no one's trialing it because there's no money in it because science is a subset of big pharma and the economic imperatives that are right-wing. No one's doing experiments into natural immunity because natural immunity is not profitable. No one's doing those experiments are not being underwritten. There's no clinical trials for that because no one wants that data for vitamin D or for steroids or for all of the things that came out as ultimately effective once the profits have been gleaned.
And he's exactly right about that. The new doses of the modified RNA poison, people are paying $200 to have their genes modified and to not get any protection, to take only risk. There is no protection. Look, the CDC's own data shows that the protection is now zero. Zero on this. And they're attempting to cover this up. Well, they can't because God is truth. He's light. In him, there is no darkness at all. Now, I'm not saying that Russell Brand or Joe Rogan are godly people. I don't think they are. Doesn't mean that God can't use them to get truth out. You compare that to this lie. And this will be promoted. And in fact, Alphabet, which is the company that pretends to own YouTube, it's such a shell game. It's just a tax thing. Alphabet's, now there's Alphabet's a holding company. There's Google. There's YouTube. It's a tax ploy to pay fewer taxes. This is a company that wants us all to pay more taxes. In fact, to tax the air we exhale. This is a lie that they'll push as truth, because they have tripled down and said, yes, our content decisions are owned by the World Health Organization and the CDC. They're already, once again, disappearing any content that questions the usefulness of these injections, because we're getting back into pushing the injections. This is a lie that's mouthed by the new boss lady at it's the Center for Disease Control, but can we agree on something, please? This is a pharmaceutical company. When we change our mindset to speak truth, let's just speak truth. The CDC is a pharmaceutical organization.
While we would all love to leave COVID-19 behind, the virus is still here and making some people very sick, especially older adults. The new updated COVID-19 vaccine is the most effective way to give your body the ability to keep the COVID virus from causing you harm. That's why CDC recommends everyone 6 months and older get one dose of the updated COVID-19 vaccine ahead of the fall and winter season. This recommendation was based on extensive data and clinical trials.
No, it wasn't. It was based on mice studies. Because you're not studying this variant. When a lie is that easy to point out, it was based on extensive clinical trials. What does extensive mean? It means some mice. Well, it's extensive. And it was done in a clinic. And you were studying it against which variant? The one 4 cycles ago? It shouldn't be this easy. I'm a rodeo clown. I mean, yes, God has gifted me, and I am deeply thankful for the gifts he's given me, such as skepticism and pattern recognition. But it shouldn't be easy, that easy, for a community college dropout to say, hey, you know what, CDC Director Mandy Cohen? No, you're lying. And the censorship attempt to stop out truth, this is so important to understand that your role in fighting this, every check you write, every time you allow AFR, American Family Association, AFA, to charge your credit card, you make it harder for them to stomp out truth. You are the first line of defense, and it is global. And the target is God's word. It is. It doesn't look like it all the time, but it is God's word, because there's countries like Scotland where it will soon be illegal, if not now, to actually carry with you God's word. If you're found with it, it's hate language. This is from the former New Zealand Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. And she says that free speech is, well, you'll hear it. She says it's a weapon of war.
As leaders, we're rightly concerned that even the most light touch approaches to disinformation could be misinterpreted as being hostile to the values of free speech that we value so highly. But while I cannot tell you today what the answer is to this challenge, I can say with complete certainty that we cannot ignore it. To do so poses an equal threat to the norms we all value. After all, how do you successfully end a war if people are led to believe the reason for its existence is not only legal but noble? How do you tackle climate change if people do not believe it exists? How do you ensure the human rights of others are upheld when they are subjected to hateful and dangerous rhetoric and ideology? The weapons may be different, but the goals of those who perpetuate them is often the same: to cause chaos and reduce the ability of others to defend themselves, to disband communities, to collapse the collective strength of countries who work together. But we have an opportunity here to ensure that these particular weapons of war do not become an established part of warfare.
This is a woman who drug people from their homes for talking about protests against the medically useless, deadly, politically motivated lockdowns of human beings. This is a woman who turned New Zealand into a prison island, even when they shut it down. No one goes in, no one goes out. They got COVID cases. How? Because it's airborne. She's talking about the fact of the Ukraine war is legal. She says it's a fact it's illegal. The Russians disagree. Well, not the Russians, but Putin. And guess what? Opinions have existed forever. Opinions have never been weapons of war. What is a weapon of war is stripping from people the ability to consult the one and real source of truth, and that is God Almighty. The one and real source of truth. And patterns. Are you in the spirit or are you not in the spirit? We shared with you earlier this week the fact that this terrible company called Pornhub is allowing sex traffickers to use that website to make money, showing people being raped, often children.
What's like the worst that could happen with a loophole like that?
What do you mean, for who?
I mean,
us?
Do rapists use it, or
of course.
Human traffickers or something? Like, could they use that loophole?
To do what?
To make money?
Of course.
Yeah.
That's an undercover journalist working for an organization called Sound Investigations, interviewing a guy who was one of the first employees at this company, which I consider to be a sex trafficking company. But there you go. That's my hateful opinion. Why did I mention that? I said we mentioned it the other day. Why did I bring it back? Because Twitter has removed it. Oh, yeah, you know, the free speech site Twitter? They've removed it. Yeah, Elon Musk likes to go around saying he's a free speech absolutist. Well, his CEO isn't.
You know, it goes back to my point about our success with freedom of speech, not reach. And if it is lawful, but it's awful, it's extraordinarily difficult for you to see it.
So it was illegal, apparently, to take video of someone speaking outside. That was illegal. Except it's not illegal. Except it's perfectly within the law. There's no expectation of privacy sitting at a restaurant table in public on a sidewalk. Oh, it's fascinating. The video of Lauren Boebert, the Republican representative, apparently performing a sex act in a theater where someone somehow knew it was going to happen and had night vision lenses to film it. That's still on Twitter. But again, I revert to hate speech. Let us thank God that he is truth and his word will never be voided. I don't think these people know that. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. So much for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman and appreciate you. I don't say it enough without enough of you. There's none of us who get to do this and respond to a couple of emails I've gotten. People kind enough to reach out to the show, I think deserve attention. I make every effort to read every email I get, and I'm blessed with a lot of them. And I've asked the AFR team to make sure I get these. And we're working at a system that gets to me a lot more cleanly. I've probably just created an email for the show, so you guys can email me directly. This one is from Tina. This is from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Dear Todd, welcome to AFR. I was thrilled to hear you. I remember you filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the day after he passed. And I heard in your voice a great series of emotions, most of them sadness, but very quickly, you seemed to get into the flow of the show, albeit with some interruptions where you seemed very, very sad. My question for you, which I've always wanted to ask, was, did you know Rush well, and was it something difficult for you to do to perform what you said was almost a radio eulogy? I heard you say that in an interview you gave on, I think, Red State. So glad that you're on the program and on this network. Thank you for putting God at the center of what you do. Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Tina. Tina, thanks for writing. And for those who don't to remember this and listening and the support, Tina, and the prayers and the kind words. Yeah, it was the day after Rush died. And here's the way this happened, just for the context. Let me go into this context. Number one, I didn't know Rush well. I spoke to him a couple times. Now, that is to say, I didn't know him in an interactive sense well. I knew him as a radio host the same way you all, many of you, knew him as a radio host. Now, having spoken with him, I knew him to be a humble man. Yeah, humble. He was having fun on the radio program, and being bombastic was part of the fun, and it was part of what just drove liberals crazy. So he did it. Part of it was to give them something to hit against, because he enjoyed the attention, and he was a brilliant man. Brilliant, and understood that by being that way, it would give the liberals reason to talk about him. And there was that. And it was fun as well, because Rush did not think of himself as the world's greatest genius in anything. When you spoke to him privately, on the few occasions I got to, he was a deeply humble, and very caring man, and tended to ask more questions than he would speak. I have friends who know him, who knew him as brothers, and it's their stories to share. So I won't go into detail, but I can tell you also, he was a deeply generous man. So on that day, you asked what that was like. Well, I mean, the context matters. I had just finished my own radio program that was on in Seattle at the time. It was just in one city. And I was walking out of the studio, and I heard my wife had Rush's music on. Rush came on right after me. And I was not really paying attention to what was going on. I had to get to the gym. And I heard my wife say, "Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, no. Todd Rush." And at that moment, before I could respond, my phone rang. And it was Craig Kitchen, who was Rush's dear friend, a lifelong friend, business manager, all things really to Rush business-wise and as a support. And it was Craig. And so I picked up the phone and said, "Craig," he goes, "Todd, I'm so sorry you're finding out this way. Rush passed this morning." And I'll tell you what, I mean, obviously we knew Rush was sick. But the reason that hit so hard was that we had expected Rush back. We were told on the Friday before that, this was, I believe, on a Tuesday or Monday. No, it would have been a Tuesday, that Rush was coming back. So when Craig said this thing, I said, "Oh, dear Lord." And Craig said, "Todd, we've talked about this. Mark is handling today. Mark Stein, great talent, wonderful man. Would you be willing to come tomorrow and effectively eulogize Rush?" And I said, "Yeah. I'll be in my honor." So Tina, you asked, was it hard for me? Horribly difficult. And really because I knew that people who experienced Rush as a family member, people who worked with him for 30 years, I knew they were grieving far more than I. And I could feel the weight of the audience. I could feel it. God helped me feel the loss that other people were feeling. And just before the program, Craig called me and said, "How are you doing?" I said, "You know what? I want to cry." I said, "Craig, I can play this completely straight. I can compartmentalize this. And I can just," Rush always said, "let the show be the show. Never make the show about you. Never make it about him." He said that to us a lot when he was dying. "Never make the show about me. The show is the show. Let the show be the show." And I said, "Craig, what do you want me to do?" He said, "Todd, let it out. In the first segment, don't worry about being professional. I know you will be anyway, but let it out." So Tina, that's what you heard, was allowing it to flow because they had permission to do that. Thank you for being part of the AFR family. Thank you for the support. A quick one here from Wes, listening online. Oh man, this is so phenomenal. From, of all places, Sandpoint, Idaho. "Todd, it's Wes. I've followed you from Seattle. Started listening to you over here when we moved over here ahead of you. Picked up the podcast, and now I'm listening to AFR. Did you purposely design this show to be different than your podcast? There's some similarities, but you seem like you might be leaning into that pastor role. You've always said you're not qualified to preach. Has that changed? Love you, brother, Wes." No, Wes, number one, how phenomenal to have you do this. And to follow us over here again. And number two, no, that's not changed. I'm qualified to share testimony, and we all are. You are too, Wes. You're as qualified as I am to share testimony. But no, I am not suddenly qualified to preach, my friend. Thank you for the note. And now, our way of thanking God for continuing to place people who find themselves incredibly wise on foolishly built towers of sand. We call it the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
So this is from ABC, and ABC is CBS, and CBS is NBC. And this is a woman, Anna Navarro, and she suffers from a dread disease. And this is not well known. It's Syndromo Diaticaris. Did I say that right? Syndromo Diaticaris. Syndromo Diaticaris de Trump. Oh, I didn't get that. That's Greek for the Trump derangement syndrome. She objected to NBC even interviewing President Trump.
I wish she had not done a Trump interview as her first one. Yeah. Because I think nobody ever wins with a Trump interview. Nobody looks good because he's just, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like interviewing an insane person.
Do you think we
it is interviewing an insane person. Take off the mic.
I guess I should have pulled the sounds now that it hit me, but I didn't remember this earlier, of when Whoopi Goldberg described legitimate rape versus illegitimate. Do you remember this? Whoopi Goldberg criticized a woman for confusing or talking about a rape that wasn't legitimate. And no, it wasn't even a woman. Now, God forgive me if this is false witness, but I'm remembering her talk about Roman Polanski. That wasn't legitimate rape. It was a 14-year-old girl. Oh, and it was partly consensual. She was 14. But it was partly consensual. He gave her psychotropic drugs, according to the lawsuits and the criminal filings. As if I recall correctly, it was Quaaludes and or magic mushrooms. Yes, and a crazy person. Never interview a crazy, and President Trump's the crazy one. Can you even go back and think of the list of people who've been on The View or who are on The View? That's the first story in the Tower of Babbling. Next up, well, I guess we'll have to ask Anna Navarro if she also objects to her friends at CBS interviewing a man in the advanced stages of dementia.
Mr. Biden's doctor says his stiffened gait is a product of spinal arthritis and a recent foot fracture, but that otherwise he is a healthy, vigorous 80-year-old male. But the poll shows that voters' worries go beyond physical fitness. Respondents were far more likely to say that only Trump, and not Mr. Biden, has the cognitive and mental health to serve.
People see what people see, and it's not funny. I promise you, I am not laughing at dementia. I'll tell you a story about dementia in a moment and how utterly, of course, savage it can be. And I'll tell it to you in a moment that I had, which will never leave me, had to do with my grandpa. Everybody sees. And the more you chat normal, 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 healthy, vigorous, normal, normal, is the more you are turning people to sources like AFR. So maybe keep doing it. Last story in the Tower of Babbling today. Listen here to Gavin Newsom complain about Republicans claiming he and the Democrat Party support abortion until birth. And you know what? Abortion until birth, there are people who might call that, what's that word? Oh, murder. That's right. Well, many of us consider abortion to be murder. So they give him the chance to clarify all this, and the dictator of California instead chooses to get out a knife and a fork and some salad dressing and a chopping board and serve up for them a delicious bowl of word salad.
You have probably heard more and more Republicans, including Donald Trump, who just over the weekend accused Democrats of supporting abortion rights up to and after birth. Can you be clear about...
What does that mean, after birth, abortion after birth? It's made up. It's a political...
Well, can you just be clear about what limits on abortion should be?
It's a political thing. People are not seeking abortion.
But what is the policy? What should it be?
The policy, it's not up to Donald Trump or me. It's up to you, to women, that have to bear that responsibility uniquely and distinctively. And the reality is, it's a canard. It's a political frame. It's total BS. And it's exactly where they need to go because they know they've gone too far.
But there has to
on
be some
side.
Kind.
And she comes back and asks, but there has to be some kind of time. What is the time? What is the time frame? And they won't say because they don't care. The reason they don't care is they want every woman to have her own decision of when it's okay to kill a baby. Because the point is, they don't even care about abortion. Well, some of them do because they've been so spiritually captured that they want to help Satan kill babies before the babies can become adults and come to him. But it's not even that. It's a wedge issue. That's what it is. Politically, it's a wedge issue. This is why we do the Tower of Babel with these three stories. I did mention dementia, and I did laugh at the characterization of the figurehead Biden being a vigorous man and not at all cognitively impaired, when it is quite clear he's severely cognitively impaired. And I did laugh, and I want to apologize because, of course, dementia is not funny. I wasn't laughing at the dementia. I was laughing at the fact that they pretend he doesn't have it. My grandfather made his living selling, and talking to people. He was a dropout. He dropped out of seventh grade. He got work at Gray Bar Electric, a place he never left. He retired 50 years later. Thank you, Gray Bar. And he got into sales. And he was so successful at working with people that he eventually helped found a bank, community bank, sat on the board, seventh grade dropout, helped found a utility, a customer-owned utility, sat on the board, helped build that as a seventh grade dropout. He had great skills with people. Dementia took his speech, took it from him, and Alzheimer's took it from him. And in a conversation I had with him in his care center where he was going to die, it was Thanksgiving Day, first time and only time he met my little girl. And when I walked into the room, he saw me come in. He said, "Oh, you betcha." That's all he could say, that word, "You betcha." And I brought her my daughter, an infant, 2 months old. "Grandpa, meet your latest grandchild." And I said her name. I handed my daughter to him. And he said, "Oh, you betcha." And then, and I'm shortening the story here, I'll tell you the whole thing later, but it's a great story. Later, I asked him, "Does this remind you of anyone?" He had a daughter, and he went, "You betcha," laughing. And when I said goodbye to him, I said, "Grandpa, I don't know that I'll see you again. And I want you to know it's been an honor being your grandson, and I will love you forever." And Grandpa looked up to me and said, "You betcha." Yeah, even dementia couldn't take away his ability to communicate. Thank God. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. God be with you and yours.